from different places, but these are words of wisdom and knowledge that people have gained throughout the years from the Bible. And many of the principles, and no matter how far back you go, see, the problem is that when people start date ranging things, they don't know how far back it really truly goes. They count the rings on a tree and say it took so many years to arrive there, but not really. There's no documented proof. There's no facts of that. Those are all theories. Just like practicing medicine, you go to the doctor. They are practicing medicine. They're learning. They're discovering. And we are the guinea pigs for some practices that are. Or some procedures, they've done it so many times that it's no longer a theory. This particular procedure works this way. But there are other issues and other situations where it's medicine is brand new. They haven't discovered that before. So they are practicing. They're practicing. They're learning about different things, different bugs, new viruses that come. And so as we go through life, we are not practicing, but we are making use of the Word of God. There are things that are not of practice because they have been proven now throughout time. The Word of God has been proven throughout time. People have started out in their life, and as they live from day to day, they got into trouble. I'm going to call it trouble, but we found ourselves in situations that we did not want to be in. We desired to be out of those situations. And somebody came and told us about Jesus Christ and told us that he helped, can, and will help us to get out of the trouble if we are willing to do what he says to do. Now, that means to separate ourselves. There comes a time that we have to separate ourselves from those that we used to run with. I can't run with my partner if we used to steal, because the Bible says steal no more. I can't run with the one that we used to go out and commit mayhem and beat down and act like the sons of anarchy. We can't do that. You have to separate yourself and come out from among them. You can't hang out with your buddies that you used to go out and y'all partied all night and did those things that it took days to recuperate from in the name of fun. You have to separate yourself from that in order to become clean. God it gets to a point where he is through with us. In other words, and let me clarify that statement, is that the Bible said if you know to do right, then you need to do it or sin lies at your door. So there comes a point where God, the Word of God, has established that we know the difference between right and wrong. And so therefore we need to do what is right and not do what's wrong, because then it becomes sin. The Bible said, shall we continue in sin that the grace of God may abound? God forbid. There comes a day and time that we have to stop. And so to you, friend, and those that are listening, including myself, the Word of God is what all of us need. For the Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word shall stand. So everything else will come and go. That new car that you saved up to get, that once you got it, you went out and spent an extra $10,000 to fix it up and to put the best wheels on it and to do things with it that made it look good so you can catch everybody's eye. It comes and it goes. It becomes a new fashion. Tattoos are no longer, everybody's not running out talking about the new tattoo they're going to get. It has come and gone. It has become a thing of that it was a fad. And so now the fad is beginning to fade. And so we know that there are changes that occur, just like when it used to be. Back in the day, you had the flare bottom jeans and you had all of those different things that were going on. It was a fad. It came and it went. And so the only thing that does not come and go is the Word of God. The Bible tells us that we can read about him, For he's written in the volume of the book. The book is written about him. And everything that Jesus did, he pointed us back to God. He pointed us back to the Spirit, where all spirits come from. And so as we have been in the Word of God, we have been studying the Word of God, we have been reading the Word of God, and I pray that you are reading the Word of God, because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. When you cannot sleep at night, you need to open your Bible up and read. When you are troubled in mind and it seems like you just don't know what to do and you're anxious, you need to open your Bible up and read the Word of God. When someone has made you upset and you don't know what to say, open your Bible up and read the Word of God. Don't be forced into an argument or a situation. Take a break. We talk about a praise break where the music and the drums are going and people are running around the church and starting to dance. But you need to take a praise break, go to the bathroom, sit down on the toilet and think about God. You need to take a praise break, go into another room, sit down and pray and ask God, what should you do about the situation that you are facing? That is a praise break also, because by the time God shows up and gives you the answer, you're going to be ready to praise him. And so we need to know the difference. We need to know what we shall do. And so going into the Word of God, we know that from our previous sessions that we have been in, that Luke is talking to Theophilus to bring him into a clear understanding about Jesus Christ. He said, it seems good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. It's important for us to know the certainty of the Word of God. It is one thing we can be sure about. It's the Bible tells us that it's appointed unto man to die and then to stand before God and to give an account. That is a sure thing. And this is not a sermon about death. It is actually a sermon about life. And so just to point out the fact that I believe the oldest living person that I recently heard of was 116 years old. And so they know that they don't have any friends that are 200 years old. And so you need to think about the fact that you are going to eventually leave here. And what is there on the other side? What do I want to take with me when I go? Do I want to take the thoughts and memory of what I did and what I got in trouble for? Only if God rescued me, then I can testify and say, I used to, but Jesus rescued me. I used to, but the Lord brought me out. I did that before and God saved me. That is the only thing that I want to take with me on the other side. I do not want to take fear and trembling of the fact that I am still caught up in the thing that I once, or I used to ask God to deliver me from. Or maybe I took so much pleasure in it that I let it take precedence over my life and I never asked God to help me. Even though God came along and sent many people to help me, I did not take the extended hand of help. So Luke writes to Theophilus, saying that thou might know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. I want you to understand that there have been a chain of events that have occurred throughout Jerusalem. There have been a chain of events that have occurred throughout Judea and Samaria. There have been a chain of events that have been occurring, that have been going on, and you have caught wind of it. You have heard about it. And in our day and time, you've heard about it through the radio. You've heard about it through the internet. You've heard about it through iHeart. You've heard about it through different medias that are existing today on television. And somebody have crossed your path that even said, Jesus saves, or said, come to church with me, or invited you to come to church, and you may have said yay or nay, or I'll do it tomorrow. Friend, we have to stop and think that sometime tomorrow never arrives. There are many people that said, I'll do it tomorrow, that is not here today. You ever go to bed wondering about tomorrow? knowing that it's not sure. Well, when you did wake up, you should have said, thank you, Lord. Thank you for waking me up today. I didn't know if I was going to wake up today. I went to bed last night, and I got up. I was reading, studying, and it was about 2 in the morning. But there was no guarantee that after I closed that book, turned the lights off, and closed my eyes, that I was going to open them in the present day. I could have opened them in eternity. But instead, I'm standing here today with gratitude in my heart and the fact that God has blessed me to stand here and to talk about the things that we can be certain about. You can be sure about the Word of God. And so Luke it goes over the story of how Zechariah and Elizabeth did not have children, and that they had been praying about it. And now they've reached a certain point in their life that even Zechariah said, look, I'm old now. I'm past those days. I'm blowing dust right now. There's nothing that's happening. And, you know, and the angel said, hey, Elizabeth is going to have a baby. Zechariah was wondering. I mean, you know, he's in the temple now and the people are outside praying. And here it is, the angel of the Lord. He's in the temple by himself. And sometime when you come into the service and you're by yourself, God shows up and speaks to you. The anointed begin to move while you're here by yourself sometime. And God is speaking directly to you to give you some understanding. All you have to do is say, Lord, here am I. The Bible said that Samuel heard his name called, and he jumped out of bed and went over to where the priest was and said, listen here, I've heard my name called. And he told him to go back and lay down. And after several times, he said, listen, when you hear your name called again, say, Lord, here am I. And so when you're alone, sometimes God speaks to you. You need to say, here am I. And so Zacharias was in the temple and he was administering because the people were outside praying. Bless your Lord God. You may have come to service and on your way in, you have been praying. You may have been at home praying and the priest is in the temple. I pray and I hope that the priests are in the temple. The ministers are in their place and that they are praying also. And God makes a connection with the prayer. And so he's in the temple and he's burning the incense, which represents the prayer of the saints. And the angel of the Lord appears to him on the right side of the altar and begins to minister to him and lets him know that your prayer have been heard and that you're going to have a son. And when he comes, name him John. When your child is born, name the child John, because John is going to do some things that God wants him to do. And he's going to go by this name. And so I know that you might want to name the child Zacharias. You might want to name him after someone in the family tree, but that's not what needs to be done. We need you to name him. And these are the instructions that I have received from on high. And I'm giving this unto you to call his name John. And John is going to be born. He's going to have a purpose. And just like you have purpose. When you were born, someone may not have understood your purpose. But if you pray and ask God, God will identify the purpose. The purpose may not be the same as mine. People get confused and think that you have to stand behind a podium and preach like a particular person that you might admire. That is not your purpose. You don't know what that person has been through to make them yell the way they do, to get them excited, or to make them go off the way they do about the Lord. Make them live right, make them govern themselves every day, whether they want to or not, but they know that it's the right thing to do. You don't know or understand where that person may have been, where they're coming from. And so you don't want to be like them. God identifies and allow us to see things about ourselves that sometimes we don't want to because it doesn't look glamorous. But understand something. The purpose that God has for you is very glamorous. Every part of the body is necessary. The hands are necessary. Move that hand, you'll miss it. immediately. Move the finger. Move the toe. You might not think that toe means anything. You may not even pay attention to that toe until you stump it, or until your child steps on it, or until you bump it against something. Then that toe becomes very important. The toe is used for running. If you don't have that toe, you're not going to run the same. So every part of the body is significant. So don't ever feel that you're not important. You're very important. Everything is important. The hair that is on the body lets you know when that little creature that is running across your arm and you quickly brushes it off. And so the hair in your ears are important. The hair in your nose and those different things are important. They are significant and there for a reason. Every part of the body is important. And so we have to treat the body with importance, not when it is in pain. We should recognize every part of the body when it is not in pain. We should take care of every part of the body every day. And every part means every part. Every part is significant. So when we just let them go, just let them go. Every part is significant because as we move and we live and we have our being, we see the need of everybody. So there are different gifts in the church. One of the gifts that we yearn for is the gift of helps. Helps is what comes and meets the need and fill in the gap, fill in the blank, fill in the position where others are running from, fill in the position, which is to me one of the most exciting and most glamorous parts of the body. So when we consider Zacharias has been instructed and said, a child is going to be born and thou shalt have joy. Zacharias, you're going to have joy, gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. They may not be rejoicing now because they don't understand it. Even Zacharias at this moment is not in a complete understanding about what is going to occur. For he shall, and the Bible gives us a description of what he is going to do. He is not going to be drunk with wine nor strong drink, but he's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. He is going to be a witness for the Lord. He is going to talk about the Lord. The Bible, and we all know the story of John, and I'm going ahead of myself here, but we know that John was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. That John came on the scene and he began to preach the word of God. He began to minister to others and he was baptizing and telling them about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he was going to be and the Holy Ghost, how he was going to baptize with fire. And so John was one that was a voice that was going to be very strong, that was going to turn the hearts of people. People have turned from the Lord. Mm-hmm. Many say they are Christians, but yet don't practice Christianity. What is Christianity? Well, in the book of Acts, they called them Christians because they found them to be like Christ. They found them, and so therefore we have to look at the attributes of Jesus Christ in order to fully understand that. Said that he's going to turn many of the children of Israel turn their hearts. To the Lord their God. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? I'm an old man, see? And my wife is stricken in years. An angel answered and said unto him, I'm Gabriel, and that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. I've come to give you these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb. Listen to this. Listen to this. Sometimes God speaks to us and he tells us things and we question God.
Mm-hmm.
Zechariah finds himself questioning Gabriel. Gabriel said, I'm paraphrasing, I'm a man, I'm an angel of authority. And I am here to give you information that I was instructed to give. I'm telling you, I stand in the presence of God. I am the voice of God right now. I'm telling you something. That you're going to have a son. And I'm thinking of this. Listen, God already knows our situation. Zechariah, God already knows you are a man up in age. He already knows that Elizabeth has passed the flowers of her youth, that this is against, that people will look at her and say, wow, this woman is up in age and she's pregnant at this time. God already knew that. In other words, God already knows our circumstances. God already knows our situation when he speaks something into our life. So Zechariah said, wait a minute. How shall I know this? How is this going to happen and I'm up in age? How is this going to happen and I don't have? How is this going to happen and I'm in need of? How is this going to happen? How? Why? What? Listen. God has all the details to the blessing. God has everything that is needed to make it happen. So when Zechariah, the minister, is in the temple praying, and the angel of the Lord appears to him and gives him a message, and he says, how is this going to happen? It's a lesson for all of us. That when we receive a word from the Lord, it's not for us to question God with the ability or the inability of what he has said is going to happen. We cannot take God's word, we cannot take his power and the movement of his spirit and equate it to ourselves. Yes, I'm old. So what? Yes, my wife is old. So what? God was not looking at that. That is your inability. That's not God's inability. The Bible tells us that there's nothing that is impossible for God. Something didn't register at that moment with Zechariah as he spoke these things, not realizing that those very words were offensive. Huh? When we talk in a way, when we talk and use the tone that is questioning God and his ability, it is offensive to God. So let's not do that. God has the power. God has the understanding. God has all that it takes to make everything happen. So therefore, we should not question him in that way. If God ever tells you to do something, if God speaks to you and tells you, listen, this is what needs to be done. He says, run to the wall. And when the wall, when you get to the wall, there's going to be an opening there. Your job is to run to the wall, not question where's the opening going to be at. Should I veer to the right? Should I veer to the left? As you go, God will show you. Zechariah said that I'm old. The angel answering him said, I'm Gabriel. In response to his question of being old, he said, I'm Gabriel. In response to his question being old, saying I'm old, he said, not only am I Gabriel, but I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you. I already knew how old you was. I already knew how old Elizabeth was. I already knew your situation. I understood it completely before I arrived. And as a result, I don't even want to go into the results yet.
I just want you to understand. I want you to understand that when God speaks his word, when God says this is going to happen, forget about saying, Lord, how is it going to happen? And start saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for making that happen. When the Lord says rejoice, even though you don't see it happening. I remember one time that the Lord said rejoice about something. And I was like, wait a minute. I don't know how to rejoice in it because I don't see it yet. I'm not the only one that's been there. But I don't know how to be happy about that right now, because right now it don't look that way. But over time, I learned that when God speaks and God says, do something, you have to do it the way God says to do it. And then you will see the results. Bless you, Lord God. When you look at it the way God is saying to look at it, when you act upon it the way God is saying to act upon it, then you will see rejoice. In other words, we have to get into the place and the position, the mindset that God wants us to be in, so that thing can be ushered in. That is the driving power. That is the force behind it. Thank you, Lord. The Bible said that, and I'm just about done talking. The Bible says that Jesus went to a city, and when he arrived there, there was things he could not do. He didn't do many miracles there because of their unbelief. Take yourself out of the equation of unbelief. They were, hey, how is this going to happen? We don't believe this could happen. We've never seen this before. We may have heard about it, but it didn't happen in our home. We may have seen it happen with somebody else, but we didn't see it happen for our cousin. But you don't know nothing about your cousin and how your cousin may have acted to cut that blessing off. Don't you be or do like your cousin. Learn the lesson. Not to be like those people that believe. So the Lord speaks to us and tells us this is going to happen. And instead of us rejoicing and praising God and testifying about, man, God said he is going to bless us and how he is going to bless us, and I'm encouraged about the blessing that God is going to send, we're yet walking around talking about what we don't have. Instead of talking about those things as that are not as though they were, because that's what God told us to do. So if God said rejoice about this particular thing that you have been praying about, then that's what you should be doing. Zechariah spent some days of quietness. You know, when you're quiet, you're trapped in your own thoughts. You got to think about what you've done to get there. Zechariah found himself in trouble. When we don't respond the way that God is looking for us to respond, we will find ourselves trapped. We will find ourselves in an area of chastisement, because that's just what was going on. He was being chastised for his questioning, which represented his wavering of what God was saying. Let's not waver in what God is saying. Because we don't want to be like Zechariah. You don't want to be like Zechariah and miss out on the blessing of being able to testify of what God is going to do. Our testimony this morning is that God is sending souls into the church, souls of help, souls of that people that are going to help other people, people that are going to have knowledge to help others, people that have been there, done that, that is going to testify and help somebody else overcome by the words of their testimony as well. Our testimony this morning is how God is healing. Our testimony this morning is how the Lord is blessing and filling with the Holy Ghost. Our testimony this morning is the presence of God, as I like to refer to him, Mars Hill, where God shows up and he shows out, as he did in the days of old. We have to testify and talk about what God is doing, what he is going to do, and not be as those that question. The Bible says Sarah laughed when the Lord spoke and said that she's going to be with child. She laughed. And then when the Lord asked her, why are you laughed? Oh no, I didn't laugh.